No. Look, I think this is an opportunity that I hope Congress will not blow. This is a very important moment in Colombia. There's a lot going on, and I think U.S. policy should be aimed more at supporting the strengthening of civilian institutions, supporting community-based economic development, at supporting efforts that will deal with the internally displaced population, at efforts that will help build confidence to lead to peace. Our Plan Colombia's over the years have been skewed toward military and security assistance. I don't think that has produced the results that a lot of us want to see. The fact of the matter is the government of Colombia needs to deal with the issue of impunity. And we're at the point now where it's no longer enough, I believe, for statements of, of support toward trying to put people in jail who committed crimes. We're at the point now where we're looking for action. I think that's one of the problems that's holding up the free trade agreement. I think people are saying, look, we want to be helpful, we want to work with you, but until you deal effectively with this issue of impunity, until you start putting people in jail who have committed gross human rights violations, who have targeted members of unions, who have targeted other members of civil society, I think a lot of us are reluctant to move forward on that free trade agreement. I think you're going to see a different Plan Colombia come out of the Congress. I think you're going to see a more balanced approach. I think you're going to see members of Congress wanting to support the things that I've just mentioned, giving the Attorney General more support for the work he's trying to do, strengthening other civilian institutions, dealing with this issue of the internally displaced. I think there are a lot of us who are frustrated with the conduct of the Colombian Armed Forces and believe that, quite frankly, we shouldn't always be a cheap date when it comes to sending money to the Colombian Armed Forces. Finally, on the issue of the war against drugs, I think by many measures that I believe in, that whole war has been a failure. The price of cocaine is as cheap today as it was when Plan Colombia began, and the quality of the cocaine is every bit as pure today as it was back then. And so I think we need to reevaluate what we've been doing and maybe take a different approach. My experience in Colombia has been when I go to some of these areas in which people are allegedly growing coca, is that their response is, well, tell me something that I can do that will help me put food in the mouths of my kids. I think if we can successfully do that, I think you will do more to combat illegal drugs than what we're doing right now. I think this policy of fumigation has not been a success, and I think we should reevaluate it, and I think you're going to see some very different approaches come out of the House. Well, the Bush administration calls the paramilitaries a terrorist organization, too, and yet our government is supporting the demobilization process that's going on. The topic of this discussion here today is peace. How do you ultimately get to peace? And to get to peace, you need to talk to people you dislike and even people you hate. The fact of the matter is, if you want to have peace, you have to negotiate with the FARC. And, I would like to think that if the Colombian government took bold steps and it took risks aimed at achieving peace, that the United States government would be supportive. I know that a lot of members of the United States Congress would be supportive. Ultimately, the way you solve a lot of Colombia's problems is just try to stop this war. And this whole issue of this humanitarian exchange that we've been talking about, this would be, if this were successful, this would be a major step forward. It would be a concrete, it would be a concrete result here that would have positive effects that I think could pave the way for other negotiations that it could ultimately lead to peace.
Thank you, Congressman. Let me see if any of the other panelists want to address the question of U.S. policy. If not, Alberto Lara, who is another of the Colombians that we've invited for actually a two-day session of of conference meetings. We have an additional meeting tomorrow that I'll mention later. Alberto Lara is with the UNDP Justice Program.
Gracias. Quisiera.
Thank you very much. I would like to refer to impunity as one of the conditions, or the fight against impunity as one of the conditions that have been set down in order to move forward with any kind of free trade agreement negotiation with the United States. And that is a key issue that the congressman has raised. Colombia is hopeful that justice can be achieved. However, if this justice is not protected and not aided immediately, that hope is going to be undermined very soon. At very difficult times for Colombian institutions, the judicial branch of Colombia, which is independent, has been held up as a banner of morality by the press, as you have seen. First, it was the Constitutional Court, that our highest court in Colombia, that when they reviewed the law of justice and peace, this body said that this is a law that is necessary for a demobilization process of the paramilitary groups. But this law has several problems, and that Constitutional Court corrected the problems regarding the truth being sacrificed and not providing for redress for victims of the paramilitaries. We have a legal framework with important elements now that will allow us to reach a process of truth and reparation. Second, another court, the High Penal Court, assumed with great courage and with great moral courage, they began to investigate the political class that has for many years been in bed with the paramilitary groups. This was not only an alliance against insurgents, but rather an alliance of corruption. It was an alliance to co-opt regional and local power. This is an alliance where there is a very high number of those involved in that alliance in legislative bodies. This is an alliance that stole resources for health and education. And today, the Supreme Court has also begun to investigate this alliance. There have been some very significant budget issues. Nevertheless, they are trying to implement the law of justice and peace and trying to investigate other politicians like governors and mayors. And they have even been trying to investigate the former director of the DAS in Colombia. But if Mr. Congressman and ladies and gentlemen, if this is not addressed, then justice will collapse, because the law of justice and peace has been in force for the last 8 months, but we have had 56,000 victims that have gone to the authorities with great difficulty to have their voices heard. And they have been doing this in the midst of conflict, because the conflict has not been resolved. And in this conflict, they have no protection, just as the different judges, magistrates, and prosecuting attorneys do not have that protection. They are trying to find around 30,000 disappeared persons. They are exhuming constantly clandestine cemeteries and constantly finding human remains. And they are doing this in the midst of great difficulty. The scale of the exhumation is large, and those who are exhuming these bodies are constantly being harassed by the FARC and other armed groups as they investigate these disappearances. The challenge is enormous, but at the same time, the judicial branch is proving to be a power that could be a cornerstone to resolving the conflict. As long as whatever agreement that is reached in Colombia respects international standards for truth, justice, and full reparation. If that does not take place, I do not think that a lasting peace is possible. Similarly, if we continue to sacrifice the rights of the victims, I don't think we can have a country that will be able to develop in a sustainable fashion. Thank you very much.
I'm not sure how much detail I need. The question is basically about 24 new rearmed groups that have emerged and what the response of the government of Colombia has been thus far, whether it's been an effective response. And he'd like opinions from the Colombian panelists. And Mark is also with the International Crisis Group, and they've just published a report on this topic. Leon, ¿quieres?
First off, I am very happy to hear Representative McGovern say that the U.S. Anti-narcotics policy is failing in Colombia and that fumigation is not effective. The United States has linked its anti-drug policy to a military victory against the guerrillas and negotiations with the paramilitaries. I think this has failed. I think perhaps it would be more appropriate to link the anti-drug policy to a negotiated solution, a negotiated peace, which would be done within the framework of reconciliation in our country. And drug trafficking could be addressed within that framework, because if the war continues to receive support, then drug trafficking will grow, because the guerrillas take advantage of drug trafficking to finance their activities. If there is more aid in the state for the military confrontation, the logic is that the efforts of the armed groups grows to obtain more financing, and that financing is obtained through illegal businesses, the drug trade. So if you feed the war, you are feeding the drug trafficking. And as I see things, the only way to find a solution to the drug trafficking issue is to do so within the framework of peace and reconciliation in the country, where we work with paramilitaries, illegal armed groups, and we discuss drug trafficking within that framework. When the United States privileges conflict with the FARC in the southern part of the country and then leaving in the east and north of Colombia, we give greater freedom to illegal groups like the paramilitary groups, And they took over a significant part of the drug trade in Colombia over the last 10 years. When thinking that the FARC are the only enemy and tolerating paramilitarism, then that has increased the development of drug trafficking in Colombia. And that is a mistake of the United States. They have used an ideological approach, and they have focused on the FARC, and many institutions have actually had more damage done to them, and laws have been passed to favor the paramilitaries. We must work with the different actors, the different armed actors. We must negotiate or work with them, but we have to address this phenomenon across the entire spectrum. Now, regarding the question, there are some partial negotiations underway with the AUC, with the paramilitary groups. The demobilization has been partial. The turning in of weapons has been partial. Now, there have been visible groups that have been demobilized. There were some 31,000 people that were demobilized, and thousands of weapons were also turned in. The paramilitary phenomenon shrunk. Nevertheless, it is a more complex phenomenon. It has a component of the drug trade. That component was not demobilized. It was not addressed at the negotiation table. The paramilitaries and those close to them continue to have their hands in the drug trade, and there is no network that has been taken down or has been negotiated with to shut down. They continue to work in these regional areas. There is a political alliance involved in this as well. That has not been shut down. The process is underway. And the law of justice and peace is focusing on that. But this is also a social issue. This is not a matter that is hanging in thin air. It is based on society. Many people in society see this issue, and their response was paramilitary groups. So there are thousands of people associated with this. And this social issue can only be addressed and be dismantled once it is delegitimized throughout the entire country. In Colombia, there is a justification. In fact, the president of the country repeats constantly that this issue of paramilitarism was an answer to the guerrillas. And in many sectors, it is seen as a legitimate response to the guerrilla movement. When there is a large campaign to delegitimize this, and the practice of political leaders arming these groups, then we will begin to demobilize the paramilitary groups in Colombia successfully. Finally, one other factor. That is the relationship with the armed forces. There were sectors of the Colombian armed forces that had alliances with the paramilitary groups. So this is a very complex issue where we have only demobilized a part that we have been able to see. These are visible actors, if you will. And it was a very partial demobilization. There are groups that are taking up arms again, and they have their... In the prison of Itaúi, there are 17 high commanders from the self-defense forces, and there were 40. 23 of the high-ranking leaders are still out on the loose. They are free. And we don't know where they are. And there are 2,000 of the low-level leaders that are also not under state control. So there are 2,600 people that are linked, and these are active leaders of these paramilitary groups. And they are subject to the law of justice and peace, but they are not in the custody of the state, and they can set up new groups.
Thanks, Ginny. My name is Nan Fife. I'm with the State Department. Since we've had some questions here about U.S. policy, I thought I might address just a couple of those points. I might say for any press that might be in the room that this needs to be off the record, since I wasn't authorized when I came up here to attend your conference to speak on the record to the press about U.S. policy. But a few things I wanted to say. First of all, to say that the U.S. government, the administration, like the Congress, supports efforts to negotiate an end to the armed conflict in Colombia. So for those who may think that's not the case, sometimes the best way the U.S. government can be supportive is not to play an active role. So there are times that that's the best way we can contribute. Another point I'd like to make is that the U.S. government is aware that the judicial process in Colombia needs more support. We've been supporting in past years already the Human Rights Unit. Now we're supporting the Justice and Peace Unit in the Fiscalía. We're looking for ways that we can provide even more support, since they seem that their current resources and personnel are unable to meet the demands that are in front of them with the Justice and Peace process. And we are already in the process of shifting some funds from other purposes to provide greater support to the judicial process in Colombia. And finally, we agree that social and economic development is incredibly important. In many parts of the country, particularly in rural areas where there's been a lot of conflict, we don't think it's possible for those programs to be carried out without a government presence, a basic level of security. And our efforts to support the counter-narcotics and counter-terrorism programs of the Colombian government have been with that objective in mind. I said finally, but maybe there's one more note I should make, which is in regard to the free trade agreement. We agree 100% with Congressman McGovern that the Colombian people need legal alternatives to feed their families. If they are going not to farm coca, there have to be other options. And we think congressional approval of the free trade agreement is one of the most important elements of providing those type of sustainable economic opportunities for all sectors of Colombian society. Thanks, Ginny.
Thank you. Yes.
Hi, my name is Dr. Chico. I'm the director of the Center for International Conflict Resolution at Columbia University. And
¿Quieres hablar aquí?
Just to